The gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, you, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. A 2006 article in the Washington Post talked about the job that no American wants, and that is the job of a shepherd. Shepherds work 12 to 16-hour days for $1,500 a month, but really they're on call 24 hours a day should the herd be attacked. Each shepherd is responsible for a flock of 500 sheep. All alone, he lives in a 6-foot by 12-foot trailer with no running water, no toilet, no electricity, driving their sheep into pastures far from roads and from towns. The only human being a shepherd ever sees is a sheep ranch owner who brings him his food once a week. You can work months and even years without a single day off. You never go to a movie, you never eat in a restaurant, you never attend church. No one wants to be a shepherd. And yet it was the shepherd boy David, Israel's greatest king, who said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leadeth me beside the still waters." In a midrash on Psalm 23, a great rabbi once wrote, "In the whole world you will find no occupation more despised than the shepherd, who all his days walks around with his staff and pouch." Yet, David presumed to call the Holy One a shepherd. The rabbi captures the ambiguity in that common metaphor. On the one hand, the most despised occupation on the planet. This was especially true among the Jews because shepherds couldn't keep the rituals and rules of the Jewish law. They couldn't keep kosher so far from civilization. You can't keep the Sabbath when you're on duty 24/7. Shepherds were loners. They were indifferent to social niceties. It's hard to keep clean out in the desert. And really, there's no need to because you're never going to come in contact with anyone. There's nobody to impress. Shepherds grazed their sheep on other people's land. Villagers considered them to be common thieves. They were so untrustworthy that the law forbade them from acting as witnesses or serving on juries in the courts. It was really one of the most despised occupations in all of ancient Palestine. And yet, somehow the shepherd has become the most ancient and most beloved symbol of kindness and faithfulness. All of Israel's heroes were shepherds at some point in their lives. Jacob and Rachel were shepherds. Moses was a shepherd for 40 years. King David sang his songs, passing hours, keeping watch over his flocks by night. Even Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. Shepherds lead. Shepherds rescue. Shepherds track down the lost. Shepherds heal. Shepherds will lay down their lives for their sheep. And one of the saddest symbols in any literature is a flock of sheep without a shepherd. There is this ambiguity in the shepherd symbol, mean and low yet admired. And so it is to shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night that the good news of God's grace is first revealed. They were sitting around a campfire when suddenly darkness is broken. The night sky is filled with envoys from beyond this world. And it's as if the very stars themselves are singing. They were just doing their boring jobs, minding their own business. There they are in the window, an older bearded shepherd kneeling, a middle-aged one holding his staff, and a younger beardless boy in the front with his trusting lamb. The Star of Bethlehem shines down on the Holy Family. There is a cross and crown symbolizing the reward of the faithful, the lily of eternal life. In the top circle is a ship symbolizing the Christian church steady on its course. This epiphany is first shared with the most common and dirty and ordinary of people, the ones who lead, the ones who watch over their own flocks. Have you ever wondered what God does with the ordinary lives of people? Albert Einstein, when he published his five revolutionary papers in 1905, was not working in a storied university. Einstein was actually a terrible lecturer, and he couldn't find a job in academia. And he came up with his general and special theories of relativity while sorting through patent applications at the local patent office in Bern, Switzerland. It's probably a job about as boring as being a shepherd. Einstein figured out that he could finish his work in 2 to 3 hours a day. And the rest of the time, he would spread his notes and equations and his diagrams all over his desk. And his boss pretended not to notice. Einstein called the Bern Patent Office the worldly cloister where I hatched my most beautiful ideas. You know, great things can come from the commonest of places. When he was 15 years old, Jeremy Crawford of Oregon was diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma. To cheer him up and take his mind off of his treatments, Jeremy's mom, Lana, bought him a German Shepherd puppy. And they named him Grizzly, and Grizzly would whimper constantly. At first, you thought that he might be in some kind of a discomfort or anxiety, and then you discover that Grizzly was just chattering away to himself or to anyone who would listen to him. Once in a while, Grizzly's breeder said, a special dog comes along who is a talker. And Grizzly showed uncommon empathy toward Jeremy. For a while, it looked like Jeremy would win his battle with Ewing sarcoma, but he died in his mother's arms at the age of 17. And before he died, Jeremy made out his will and left Grizzly to his mother and asked her to find some way to help other sick kids. But Lana was simply undone by Jeremy's death. Her marriage had fallen apart during Jeremy's illness. She didn't have a job. She was so depressed that she even thought about taking her own life. She couldn't even get out of bed. And then one day, Grizzly rooted around in the closet until he found one of Lana's sneakers and brought it to her, and then the other. I can't, Grizzly, she said. I just can't. But he tugged at her sleeve until she took him for a walk. And then a longer one, and a longer, and longer each day until she got stronger and stronger. And one day while walking Grizzly through the park, she saw a tall, blonde, beautiful 17-year-old boy tossing a football. He looked just like Jeremy, and she thought that her heart would break for good. But then she remembered a psychology class that she had taken. And in that class, volunteer work was part of the requirement, and so remembering Jeremy's promise, her promise to Jeremy, she started taking Grizzly around to the pediatric ward at the university hospital. A young cystic fibrosis patient was screaming about the needles that they kept sticking into him until Grizzly stood next to his hospital bed whimpering. The boy forgot about the needles and asked if he could take him for a walk. Sure, said the nurse as she pushed the IV pole behind him. She took him to a center for emotionally disturbed children to visit a troubled girl named Tammy. At the age of 11, she'd already been through 14 foster homes. She fought with other children. And Grizzly came to visit, and she refused to look at him, so he left and stood chattering away in the hallway. Twisting the arms and legs off of a doll, Tammy asked, "What's he doing?" "He's talking," they told her. And so she went into the hallway to have a talk with Grizzly. "I'm scared," she said. "Nobody wants me." One day they noticed that Grizzly's eyes weren't focusing any longer, and so they took him to the vet, who told him that Grizzly had been blind for years. He sees with his heart and not his eyes, said the vet. And Lana saw it. The need was greater than one dog could meet. And so Lana started a nonprofit group to train therapy dogs. And 3 years later, there were 91 dogs, 3 cats, 1 rabbit, and 80 human handlers. And yes, she called her organization the Good Shepherd Association. Who wants to be a shepherd? Who needs shepherds? We all do. Regular, ordinary people in the midst of life's difficulties who God uses to proclaim God's glory. We have that here also. We don't exactly call them shepherds. We call them Stephen ministers. And they shepherd people through grief and loss when the ordinariness of life lets us down. Our second class, since we restarted it a few years ago, is happening right now. And just like the first classes, we were building the class. There were people who felt that they couldn't become Stephen ministers. Why, we asked. Well, how is God going to use me? I don't think I can do that, is often the response. Well, tell me about yourself. What struggles have you faced in your life? I've been divorced. My parents were divorced. I never knew my dad. I've struggled with dependency. I've lost a child, a parent, a job. I've been unemployed for a long time. Well, it's in that way. The way that you have experienced life, the way that you have struggled, the way that you have experienced healing yourself, that God will use you and make you a great Stephen minister. Because God can take our struggles and our weaknesses that we experience in the ordinariness of life and use them to proclaim God's glory. Henry Nouwen calls it the wounded healer. He writes, experience tells us that we can only love because we are born out of love, that we can only give because our life is a gift, and that we can only make others free because we are set free by Him whose heart is greater than ours. When we have found the anchor places for our lives in our own center, we can be free to let others enter into the space that is created for them and allow them to dance their own dance, sing their own song, and speak their own language without fear. I'd like to invite Sandra Harvey to come forward to share about Stephen Ministry.